Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox?
Welcome to Guys We Fucked. Guys We Fucked.
Guys We Fucked.
I'm Christina.
I'm Corinne.
We're sorry about last night.
The anti-slut shaming podcast. I never stop.
Hello, fuckers. How are you? And welcome to another episode of Guys We Fucked.
It's the anti-slut shaming podcast. I'm Corinne.
I'm Christina.
Hi.
Hey, guys. How are you? I hope well. You know, we haven't recorded.
I was like, is this a recording?
Yeah. You're sitting at your desk.
This is a Christina bot.
Yeah. It's just my robot version. We haven't recorded the podcast in a while, I feel. Mm-hmm. We haven't recorded in so long because we did three weeks in a row because we've been away. And in that time, Ireland repealed the Eighth Amendment. They had a referendum for the Eighth Amendment is a clause inserted into the Irish Constitution after a referendum in 1983. It recognized an equal right to life for both mother and the unborn child, effectively prohibiting abortion in almost all cases. And then two further referendums were held in 1992, resulted in the 13th Amendment, which allows women to travel in and out of Ireland to have an abortion. Oh, thank you so much. Pro-repeal campaigners say 170,000 people have done just that. And the 14th Amendment, which authorizes information about abortion services overseas. And in 2013, the law was changed to permit abortions when doctors felt a woman's life may be at risk from pregnancy complications or suicide. Wow, thank you. Otherwise, a doctor unlawfully performing an abortion faces persecution and up to 14 years in jail. And now,
also prosecution.
That is the word but that should have been
said. But persecution too. So they're both accurate.
Man, I'll never be good with words. Anytime anybody corrects a spelling error I make online, I'm like, you just need to accept the fact, because I've already accepted it, that I'm so dumb, I'm not even going to have spell check catch my errors. And that's okay.
A lot of smart people can't spell.
I know. So it's fine. But congratulations, the women of Ireland, for winning the right to your own body. And you decide what to do with it. If you want to keep a baby, right, you can keep a baby. If you don't want to, if you get pregnant, and you don't want to keep it, I don't care what the fuck your reasoning is. That is your choice. And I'm so happy that you that your government is giving you that amount of respect. And to everyone who flew in, it was so cool to see all these women.
That's what I was thinking. That
flying
was like, wow,
from all around the world to vote. I'm like, fuck yeah, bitch. You fucking vote, motherfucker.
Power in numbers. That was not an easy thing to do. And I mean, and it's also, I mean, if we talk, there's so much conversation about privilege, but that's a great use of privilege. Like, if you have the means,
yeah,
and the time to be able to take that trip, like, obviously it made a huge difference.
Yeah. So kudos to you, all of you. That's just amazing.
And also kudos to Ben and Jerry's.
I love them both the same.
Oh, we did such a great job a couple weeks ago that they were like, we need more of this. They must have sold so much merch, which is call ice cream. Guys, support for today's show comes from Ben and Jerry's.
That's the best sentence I've ever heard.
Known for creating euphoric ice cream with quirky and unique flavor combinations and delicious chunks and swirls throughout. That's how a lot of people in high school described me. And now with new Mooforia flavors.
That was my nickname in middle school.
Digging into a bowl of your favorite treat is even sweeter, because at 140 to 160 calories per serving, Mooforia is the lightest way to enjoy all the euphoria of Ben and Jerry's.
Suck it.
Now, we're not saying to, you know, just like eat this all in one sitting, but wow, now you can have ice cream in your life every single night and not look in the mirror and be like, this isn't the summer body I was looking for. Is this too personal? Is this too personal, Ben and Jerry's? Wait, you know when you finish dinner and then you already look pregnant, so you're like, yeah, I'm just also gonna eat Ben and Jerry's.
Might as well twist the knife.
Is that the song? Mooforia is what people say after they come when having sex with me. Okay.
That was Moriforia.
Okay.
Oh boy.
Oh my god, it was real good. I really was not on a diet for any of my vacation. It was wonderful. Available in three amazing flavors, including chocolate milk and cookies.
Ooh.
Caramel cookie fix.
Damn.
That sounds like an addiction problem. And PB dough.
Mm.
Try them all. Go to store.benjerry.com to have new Moriforia light ice cream delivered to you.
The fucking deliver it?
Because it's like you already burned enough calories by eating that. Don't leave the house.
Don't fucking get up.
Don't leave the house.
Come on, idiot. I mean, that's perfect. And now I know I can order Ben and Jerry's. And that's what I'm
thank
do.
You, Ben and Jerry's.
Come see us live.
Yes. Well, if you can't get to any of the venues, then you can listen to the Two Less Lonely Girls podcast. Guys, it's been a fucking amazing week for Two Less Lonely Girls podcast. So you already know that Patty Millette has listened to the podcast and DM'd Rosebud. Carl Lentz, celebrity pastor Carl Lentz, has not only DM'd me, followed me on Twitter, and listened to the episode about the Hillsong Church visit that we went to. This is insane. I can't even believe it myself. All of my wildest dreams were coming true. And that just shows if you dream really small, the dreams are really achievable. Two Less Lonely Girls.
Hey, and I have a comedy sketch and song album out with Joseph Vessi. It's called Maybe It's You, and it's available on iTunes, and you can buy it for $9.99. And we sing songs, and we curse, and we make noises, and I get to have an outlet for all of my cartoon voices. So you can listen to that. And also, tonight and tomorrow, Salt Lake City, Utah. We're coming for you. We have two shows tonight and two shows tomorrow, June 9th, at Wise Guys. SorryAboutLastNightComedy.com/tours.
Minneapolis, Minnesota, June 14th, 15th, 16th. We're going to be at the House of Comedy. Again, those tickets are at SorryAboutLastNightComedy.com/tours. Upcoming other cities that we're going to be in: Irvine, California, which is 48 minutes away from Los Angeles.
Yeah, we have like a shitload of dates.
Yeah, that's going to be a big venue, big show. Make sure to come to that because we do not have any Los Angeles dates booked. So that's the show to come to if you're
in
the Los Angeles area.
After we're done touring in 2018, we're going to be done around October. We're gonna take a little break. So this is the fucking time to see us live, you guys.
Yes, absolutely. We also have dates up for Philadelphia. We have some Texas dates up. So just make sure to get in on those ASAP. Because again, it does make people worried when we don't sell tickets up until the week off. You know, no pressure.
Like, wow, do you guys see coming or what?
And then if you're in New York City, guys, Friday, June 29th, we are doing Nacho Bitches at New York Comedy Club. It's at 11:30 p.m. Tickets are $12 with code Nacho. It's co-hosted by me and sometimes Rosebud Baker, sometimes Justin Perez. We always have a really hot lineup. That club is amazing. And thanks to everyone who came out and saw Nacho Bitches in Los Angeles at the Comedy Store. We really appreciate it. Two sold out shows. Moshe Kasher and Natasha Leggero over there. We always have lots of fun pop-in guests at Nacho Bitches.
And then the next day, you're like, man, I really can't get enough of these gals. Fucking Glamour Puss is Saturday, June 30th at 7:30 p.m. It is at Zinc Bar, as always, hosted by myself and Wendy Starling. I fucking love the show. I use my stand-up portion of the show to like air out things and joke about things that I will never say on stage anywhere else or on the podcast because they're very personal, but I use it as like a writing exercise and it's very fun. The shows have been selling out, so get your tickets. All the links that we're talking about, they're in the description of today's episode. So, you know, you just like click on that instead of tweeting at us, whatever. It's an extra step. Hey, we're going to do a couple more ads and then to get to some juicy shit. Okay, Latote, y'all. Let me tell you something about Latote. I fucking love them because you know what? I hate shopping. It's a lot. It's like gives me anxiety. A lot of things give me anxiety, but I don't like, you know, I haven't really been leaving the house lately. And Latote is like, I got you, girl. It takes the stress out of getting dressed with Latote. Latote takes your measurements and ratings and learns not just your size, but the nuances of how you like your clothes to fit, which is very nice. So you can get the right styles and the right size delivered. And then when you're done, you just send it back. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just like they give it to you to like wear for a week or however long you want to keep it, but then you send it back. I fucking love them. I've kept a lot of the items, and then when you keep them, they charge you, but you just, you know, if not, you just send it back and you're like, cool, bye. But I have a purse from there. I have a sweater, things that I would never try on if I saw them in a store. And that's what I need in my life. I need someone to be like, shut the fuck up, get out of your own head, just try this on and look in the mirror and then look. With La Tote, you can refresh your fashion monthly. Just wear, return, and discover fashion that fits you better. It'll take the stress out of getting dressed, like I said before. You go to latote.com. That's LETOTE.com to get started. Enter promo code GWF at checkout, and you get 50% off your first month. Again, that is latote.com. Enter code GWF.
And thank you very much to Spotify. Some things were meant for each other. Fries and milkshakes, selfies and duck face. And now, guys, we fucked and Spotify. Yes, guys, the same app that has millions of songs now also has thousands of podcasts. Some of you guys knew this already. Some of you don't. I listen to podcasts pretty much exclusively on Spotify. I love this. I've been a Spotify paid user long before they featured the Guys We Fucked podcast. I really love these Discover weekly playlists they put together for me, because I'm always like, no one knows me. No one can get to the inner workings of my soul. Oh, wait. This like app just did it because it like just traced what I listen to.
It's pretty dope algorithm,
guys. It's actually pretty simple. Listen, it's all about listening, guys. Listen to all your favorite shows and discover new ones by browsing categories such as lifestyle, news, comedy, sports and recreation, and more. Plus, you can save podcasts offline for when you don't have an internet connection. And use Spotify Connect to seamlessly play podcasts to different devices. To subscribe to our show, just search for Guys We Fucked, tap follow, and get every new episode delivered to you. Podcasts on Spotify, they're streaming right now, and now, and now.
Ha!
That was just the copy, but like real talk,
I fucking love Spotify.
Spotify is the best way to listen to podcasts. They're not paying us to say that. And I use it all the time. And I know a lot of you have been complaining about other ways that you listen to podcasts not really working.
Yeah.
Highly recommend switching over to listening to our podcast on Spotify.
Have you guys heard us talk about Movement? You know, those two college dropouts that started their own watch company? Fucking weirdos. No, actually, it's great because Movement watches are wonderful. This company has grown like crazy with almost 2 million watches sold in 160 plus countries. And now they've doubled their number of watch styles. Oh, fucking shit. And expanded to sunglasses. What the fuck? And fashion-forward bracelets. For her. Needless to say, Movement has become has come far from being crowdfunded kids working out of a living room. And hey, so have Corinne and I, although we're still in a living room. Suck it. Not surprising, since they offer classic design, quality construction, and styled minimalism across all of their products. Not to mention, unlike the $400 to $500 price tags you'd find at department stores, Movement watches start at just $95. And I gotta say, when someone has a nice watch on, I notice it and I really appreciate their attention to detail in their style and who they are. And I think a watch is a really great accessory. And it encourages you to not look at your fucking phone all the time. Because I'm like, what time is it? Oh, and then 2 hours later, I'm still on Instagram. It's like, wow, Christina, get a life. Get 15% off today with free shipping and free returns by going to MVMT.com/GWF. See why Movement keeps growing. Check out their expanding collection. Movement watches also make for really great fucking gifts. No one gives watches anymore. Fucking stop doing that and give Movement watches.
I give my brother a watch.
Oh, that's great. Well, because that's now you know the power of Movement is coming into your life. Whether you're celebrating a grad or your dad, hint, hint, Father's Day, and Movement is the perfect place to shop for an affordable, timeless gift. Go to MVMT.com/GWF and join the movement. Do it.
I like that. Join the movement always like makes me think of like getting a colonic and like shitting.
Oh, it makes me think of Michelle Obama trying to get all the kids to get up fat ass and exercise. Come on, kids.
I did get a colonic recently for the first time, and it was...
I loved it when I got one.
I didn't mind it. And I was like apparently like quote good at it, but I'm also like,
you're good at getting a colonic? How,
yeah. She's like, you had a good colonic. Like some people like are constipated and like it doesn't come out.
Oh.
And like it's more like an enema where like the colonic happens and then they just shit it out later. Like I shit it out right into the tube.
Oh, that's good.
Thank you.
The woman commented on my tight butthole.
Yeah. I remember
when I got it.
You've said
that. Yeah. I just want everybody to
this
know.
Wasn't that like when you were a kid? Like, this was years and years ago.
I was 22.
Yeah.
It meant a lot to me. I'll never forget it.
That and the Shakespeare
Festival.
Everybody.
I came in first place.
Yes, you did.
Philadelphia.
Okay, this email is my boyfriend gay? Should I say something? Hey, just wanted to... This is my favorite topic, Al, so everyone knows. Happy Pride. Hey, just wanted to briefly mention that I absolutely love your show. Some of the things you both talk about are super eye-opening, and I love it. Anyway, I've had this feeling for a while now. This is not funny, but it's so funny. Now that my boyfriend might be gay. I hear ya. We've been dating for about 3 years, and a while ago, I accidentally saw the porn that my boyfriend had open on his phone. I can be a very nosy and curious person. Nice way of saying nosy again.
Yeah.
So I've been looking at his history and private browsers pretty frequently to see what he's been looking at. I have not once seen straight porn on his phone. I know that guys will just look at whatever they're in the mood for, but I find it strange that it has only been gay porn. Yeah. Another reason I think that he could be gay is that he always wants me to do his makeup. You're really testing me. I want to be open, but you're really testing me, Ryder. I've been really getting into makeup recently, and whenever I do my makeup or we aren't really doing anything, he'll ask me to do his makeup. He'll ask me at least once a week. I also caught him putting on a pair of my panties once.
Okay.
I know that cross-dressing is a thing, and it doesn't necessarily mean he's gay. True. But it's very concerning. Yeah. Another thing that isn't as concerning by itself, but when tied all together with everything, is that he wants to be submissive. Oh. He wants me to do all the things to him that I want done to me, for example, choking, spanking, etc. He will never be dominant towards me, even though I've expressed it to him many times how I want him to. I don't like being dominant at all, and he almost forces me to. Okay, well, that's weird. That's bad wording, but you probably get the point. Regardless of all this, I can see myself being with him for a long time.
Why?
And obviously, I don't want my boyfriend to be gay.
Then dump, bump.
Am I crazy? No. Should I confront him about it? If so, how would I go about doing this? Thank you so much. Also, please don't mention my name. Thank you. Well, I mean, what a doozy of an email. Perfect for Pride.
Yeah.
Holy
Some
moly.
Some of these things don't scream gay to me. But something's happening. But also...
You know me. I think everyone's gay.
Yeah, you do.
But I'm usually right.
I'm trying to think of an example, but you always have been.
The cross-dressing is definitely that's a different element, and that 100% does not mean you are gay. And also it's like that's kind of like rude to gay men. Like most gay men aren't putting on makeup.
Yeah,
so that's like a completely different thing. It's more of like, you know, drag queen, kind of like it could be like trans, it could be cross dressing. Those are the kind of elements like.
And straight men cross dress. Like,
yeah,
it's fine.
I really don't know a lot of gay men. Like my gay friends don't put on makeup. Yeah. So that's not gay. But the gay porn, exclusively watching male gay porn as a quote unquote straight man. I've never heard of that.
Even though women watch lesbian porn all the time, it's for different. Totally different reasons.
Yeah, that's for like a sense of like security, like, and safety. Yeah. That's why, you know, straight women are for the most time. It feels less aggressive. It feels like the women are having like a better time. I know we've discussed.
Yeah.
It's just seems a little. There's a
that's
lot
the
of
thing
things.
That makes me think gay, because the other two, like the submissiveness and the panties and the makeup, the three things.
The submissive, I wouldn't worry about.
The submissive,
so much,
I don't think has anything. But I just feel like he wants to explore. Not that submissive is equal to like feminine at all, because those two are not. You know, they have nothing to do with each other. But it seems like maybe he wants to explore the side of himself.
Yeah,
which is fun and kind of like it's fun to explore a side of yourself.
But that you've already invested a lot of time in this guy.
3 years,
so like
man.
You need to have a conversation, and if 3 years in you have trouble having a conversation like that it's like tough conversation to have, no doubt, but it's like if you're 3 years in and you can't figure out a way to do that, then like you guys aren't meant to be, for other reasons besides him possibly being a homosexual. And it's I think kind of using the word Christina just used, which is explore, is a great way to kind of talk to him. Just sit down and be like, hey, you know, with the makeup and everything, and I've you know kind of noticed that, you know, it's hard because you've been snooping, so it's really hard to get around that.
That's rude.
I think without that, you can also like mention a couple other things. It just seems like maybe your, you know, gender is a little more fluid, or mm-hmm. that you might be interested into exploring relations with men. Has that ever been something that you've thought about? I would just like to know. I'm your partner, and I want to make sure that you're having a sexually satisfactory relationship, like your end. But also... And also thing that you should bring up when you're having this conversation is that you really like to be the submissive one, and that, you know, if he likes to be it, you should at least take turns, because like I know he's not like forcing you as in like sexual assault or rape, but if he's like
trying to convince you or pressure you into doing that.
If you both like to play the same role in sexuality, like take a lot turns. Of times that's not going to work. But yeah, you have to at least take turns.
That's not fair to you.
Yeah, because if he can't get aroused in the other situation, then there's some other problems that kind of go beyond his sexuality.
Oh yeah,
but there definitely needs to be a conversation to be had. And I mean, like, it depends, like the makeup thing, like for me, if I had like a straight boyfriend who, or even bisexual boyfriend who liked me putting on makeup, like that wouldn't bother me, but like, that's not okay for everyone. And it doesn't need to be. I think in these like modern, you know, progressive times, everyone, like, it's almost like you feel like you have to be okay with things like straight men wearing makeup. And like, yeah, you have to be okay with them as
just
in like
respect their choice to do
their
it.
Choice, but you don't have to be sexually attracted to a straight man who wears makeup. Like,
and it doesn't make you a bad person.
No one can ask that of you. And that is not, that's just like, you're still allowed to have choices.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes that's kind of washed over. Like, you're a bad person. Like, what, your boyfriend wore a dress and you broke up with him? Like, yeah, I don't want my boyfriend wearing a dress. That's just something that I have in my life. Like, if we went out and my boyfriend was wearing a dress, that's not for me. If he wanted to cross-dress on his own time, I think that's something I could handle. Everyone has different things they can handle and different things they cannot handle. And that doesn't make you a bad person. And it doesn't make you close-minded. It just makes you a fucking human being.
Yeah, who you are attracted to is who you're attracted to. That's just not... Dan Savage always says, like, interrogate your desires. So ask yourself, you know, well, why do I like this? And make sure it's not for, like, a shit reason. But usually it's not. If something makes your dick get hard, then something makes your dick get hard.
Yeah.
You know? That's what happens.
Mm.
Oh, man. Speaking of hard dicks.
Yes.
Ugh. I don't know how much I want to. I just had sex yesterday with a person that it was just. I'm trying to bang other people. Justy Dodge and I were hanging out.
Yes.
And she was like.
Same person you've been banging or different person?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And he's great.
Well, yeah, you like having sex with this person.
I do a lot. And but then I need Justy keeps telling me, like, you need to have two more crushes. You need to have three so that you can just, if you ever feel yourself getting,
oh,
like,
she's absolutely right.
And, oh boy, she is.
You do get obsessed a little easily with people.
Yeah, I do. And I put them on a thing, you know, whatever.
A pedestal, yeah.
Yeah. And so, and I just, that's, I don't. I'm so mindful now of not doing what I did with Steven.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's great. But just for my own sanity, it's just nice. And I'm trying. But man, I don't like it. I'm on a dating app. It's just, everyone sucks. You know what I mean?
I mean, don't compare like real life, like connection that you have. And you've also like, you just never kind of like been single like in your current career. So
yeah, it's so much fun. And like one of the times, like last week, I think it was, I fucking bought shower curtains.
Mm-hmm.
Like two shower curtains to put over the bed, and then we just drenched each other in oil, like lube. Mm-hmm. I went to Pleasure Chest, and I said, hey, the guy I'm fucking, he suggested baby oil, but I know there's something better we can get. Like, what's like a baby oil consistency type of lube that's odorless and colorless, so I could put it on his dick and suck his dick, because I do this great thing with the twisty hands while you're sucking the D. Great move.
Now that you learned his.
Yeah, now I know how to suck that dick. And boy, oh boy. I mean, it's so... It's just great. And I'm trying to not make it. I'm trying to really curtail my enthusiasm, both really, definitely publicly, but also privately, because I just don't want to get involved. You know what I mean? I don't know. I just don't want to. I don't want to end up really liking him and falling for him.
Well, I mean, but as long as it's mutual, that's okay.
Yeah. But part of me is like, Jesus Christ, Christina, you just got out of a relationship.
Well, that's
even
that's
though I feel like I've been mentally out of it for.
That's more importantly, and also like kind of exploring who you are as an individual person.
Yeah,
outside of like a connection to another person.
Yeah, yeah, but that's been good. It's just so, oh God, to have a healthy sexual relationship with someone, it's just the shit. And then thank you. I wanted to say thank you because we haven't recorded an episode in a while. Like I said, because the last 3 weeks we kind of recorded in one day. Thank you so much to everybody in Chicago who came out to the Laugh House and to the taping of I'm going to be on True's TV show called, oh my God, I'm brain farting.
Laugh Mob.
Laugh Tracks.
Laugh Mob.
Yeah. But when I, Cypher Sounds hosted, and I was in the middle of the lineup, and I... when I went out, the audience was screaming so loudly. It was all guys we fuck people in the crowd.
Well, of course.
Yeah. And like that just the people who come out to our live shows, like it just means so much. And it made me so much better on that TV taping because it was just, you come out to that after, it was just, thank you so much for all the listeners of this podcast for their support and just being great. And I really, really, really appreciate it. And yeah. I went to a friend's wedding, my childhood best friend, and she had everybody sign a bench, like, you know, instead of a guest book. And I woke up the next day, it was in Boston, her wedding. I woke up the next day and her twin brother's outside the hotel waiting for some to get picked up to go to the airport. And he was like, Katie's really pissed that you drew a dick on her bench. And I was like, what? And then I realized I drew a giant dick on her bench.
How big?
Like, really big. But yeah, it didn't cover anybody's signatures.
Well, that was nice of you.
Yeah, and then I offered it. I felt so bad. I'm like, who am I? That's so mean. I didn't do it in mean spirited. I thought it was funny.
It's just like child. Like, I think it's just like you're too, it's like, you know, it's, sometimes it's hard to take, like, to realize that, like, everyone doesn't want to be around a comedian all the time. It's hard. It's even hard for me, like, being in relationships with comedians. I can turn it off, but a lot of people can't. And, like, that's a real, like, just,
oh yeah, someone who's always really on is terrible
to be around.
Yeah, that sounds horrible.
Did she forgive you?
She did, I think. She was like,
but also on the flip side, it's like when you invite Christina Hutchinson to sign your bench, what do you think is gonna happen?
I know, but also I haven't seen her in a while, and
she didn't know that you were in the dick drawing business.
And I don't know, a lot of weird stuff, like, just we as women have been. Hey, I'm getting a lot of, like, people sliding in my DMs and be like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And, you know, no, I don't, but thank you for asking. You can always ask. I don't mind being asked. And one guy was like, he messaged me his phone number on Instagram, and I just didn't respond back because I don't want to call you. Sorry. I'm good.
Yeah.
And then he messaged me again and again and again. Like, don't, you know, when he, just a word to the wise. When someone doesn't hit you back, it's on purpose. Even if it's not on purpose, just fucking relax. And, but then I said, like, I said back, like, I'm not interested.
Mm-hmm.
And because I was like, what do we always tell people to do? Be direct.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, I'm not interested. And I really thought he was going to hit me back with, that's what. But he was like, okay, love the podcast. And I was like, oh, thank you.
Well, that's nice.
Now I'll fuck you. Just kidding. No, I didn't. But yeah, that made me. And then, like, this one, like, women have been hitting me up. And I'm like, you know what? Okay, I'll try it.
Like, podcast listeners?
No, well, no, just people I know in my life.
Oh, okay. I was like, okay. No, I have gotten, I wish I was just getting people ask me to fuck them. I just get people telling me that they love me that I don't really actually know that well. So that's,
like, in love or just like,
no,
I
in love. Like, and oh, so that's a little,
that's scary.
I just don't know how standoffish you have to be, because I feel like I've done a pretty good job of being standoffish, and like, how much more standoffish does one need to be?
And but you know,
I don't know
how you how
I'm, like, not sure
if I ever encounter, like, a cat or a dog who's like hates everybody, I'm like, and you ignore them and then they want to hang out with you. So I feel like people maybe are, like, the more you ignore and the more you're standoffish, the more people are like, yeah, I'm going to crack her code.
Maybe.
I don't know. Give up, guys. Come on.
It's just uncomfortable all around. Anyway, let's see. Oh, yeah. I had a great vacation in Los Angeles. I forgot that had happened. God, that was literally, like, the best. I haven't had that good of a time in a long time.
Good.
I hang out with just, like, a bunch of, like, straight dudes, because I realized, like, once I got there, all my friends there are straight dudes plus Blair. And
who's also a straight dude, kind of.
What?
She's kind of like a straight,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah, yeah. And my brother came down, and aww, it was just, I didn't look. I think I charged my phone maybe like 2 or 3 times within like 5 days. That's how little I used it. I like lost it at times in the house. Like, I just didn't look at it. And like, that's, let me amazing, tell you, like, social media is like a lot of, and phones in general, like, are like a lot of the root of, like, I think a lot of our problems, like us meeting like young people. But anyway, yeah, I've had some personal stuff that I'm not going to talk about because I'm tired of talking about sex. But what I do want to talk about is suicide. Hey,
ooh,
guys.
Who's horny?
Hey, guys, everybody. So it's been kind of a rough week as far as, like, taking people's own lives. Obviously, everyone heard about Kate Spade, the famous fashion designer, who at 55 hung herself in her bedroom. She had a 13-year-old child. She had a husband. You know, on the outside had everything. And I thought in these days, like in these times, people were kind of more aware of suicide and like realized that it's a mental illness and that no one's just like, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm going to check out by hanging myself. And like, it's so much more than that.
It's not a lazy thing.
But I was like having a conversation with my friend last night, and he's like really smart, wealthy person who's, you know, built businesses and, you know, has explored comedy. And he like actually said to me, I wish people like that would just look on the bright side more. And
what?
I was
like people like Kate Spade?
Yeah. And I was like, whoa, what are you talking about? And it kind of made me realize, instead of getting angry at him, I realized it's just like a larger discussion that needs to be had, because there is so much still talk when people commit suicide about how it's selfish, about how, well, oh, if you want to do it and you don't have a family, that's fine. But if you have kids, then it's not. But it's like, I don't think you think this isn't like a cognizant choice that people are making. Like, you are so lost in your own thoughts.
Stop making it about you guys.
You are so, you know, when someone dies of cancer, everyone's like, no, you can't die of cancer because you have a 13-year-old kid. Like, that's the level. Like, your mind is, I don't want to say broken because that sounds so negative, but it is. Like, you know what? Your mind is broken. You're trapped in your own thoughts. There's no way to get out. And I think a lot of times also people who are suicidal think that the world and their family will be better without them. That's a common thing that I hear. So it's like you have to really keep that in mind. With suicide and also just like it's so hack, but like the notion that like when you have more money or you're a famous designer that things will be better, as someone who you've listened to things quote unquote get better, they are not getting better. Money has not helped. Like, yes, it's nice to like not live in a mouse infested apartment, but apart from that, like, it's not better. There's just a new set of problems that you have to deal with, and more people wanting from you, and you can trust people less. So that's it's just so inaccurate. Like, I knew that before anything, because I'm obsessed with celebrity and I have read so much about famous people, and like, so even if on this low level of success, it's still like, that's not what's fixing it. Happiness is an internal thing. And then, you know, going off from there, I had a friend from high school who over the weekend overdosed on opioids. This is the third person from that friend circle to have a drug-related death in the past, I would say, like 7 years. I kind of didn't even realize what a big issue it was, because I'm kind of out here and living in my New York City bubble. And but I talked to some other friends from Jersey who like have lost, like almost every other friend I talked to from Jersey had someone die from opioid addiction overdosing. It's such an epidemic. So I don't know.
Oh, don't worry. Jared Kushner's going to fix it. God. Corinne,
it's such a, and it was the reason I went, this is not even like a close friend. We were close at times, like in middle school and high school, but it was just kind of interesting. And I went to New Jersey to go to his wake, and no one even like knew. I don't even like his mom, you know, mom doesn't even know me. Like, we haven't talked since like high school, like, you know, besides online or something. But number one, he just looked, just like looking at someone in a coffin, like you can tell when it's open casket if that person died peacefully or in like agony. And there was just such agony. It was so brutal to look at. And I have this pattern in my life of people. I've talked before about my friend who committed suicide, who had kind of like reignited a friendship with me, then roofied me, then took his own life. And this person who died over the weekend had a very similar relationship with me, where we never talked in school because we were from different friend circles. But like after school, these were both people who like gravitated towards me, who like called me a lot. And we had this like friendship that existed outside of the walls of school with all the kind of like cliques and everything. Cause, you know, I was like the main outcast, and then everyone else was like, these are like more like popular kids. And I just think it's so interesting that this pattern in my life that like people who are like kind of struggling gravitate towards me without actually telling me why they are gravitating towards me. And then I don't figure it out until like, I know they're troubled, but then I don't figure it out until like they're dead. And so it's just very weird. But anyway, like basically, if you're struggling, obviously pain, like drugs are not the way to go. I know we talk about drug use a lot on here, but if you also notice, like I, especially with psychedelics, I'm only really careful to only use them when I'm in a good place, when I'm in a good mindset. Like right now, I'm still not in a good mindset. I'm still really like in a lot of pain from my breakup. So I'm not using drugs right now. And I'm really like minimally drinking. And I think that's a pretty healthy way to go. And obviously if you are in trouble, there's also a I think everyone talks about suicide hotlines. There's also a suicide text crisis line, which I think is great because we live in such a texting environment. And I think it's just like young people today are not really looking to pick up the phone. But if you want to do the crisis text line, you can text connect, the word connect, C-O-N-N-E-C-T, to 741-741 in the United States. It's a 24/7 crisis text line. And even if you're not like, you know, holding the knife to your neck, you could still just call them and be like, you know what, I'm in a bad place. Because I know some people don't have the money to sit down with a therapist because that is like a luxury sometimes. But it's a very helpful thing to do. And you'll just have someone who will respond to you right then and there with some hopefully preventative measures and to how kind of help you get through that moment, that day, that week, that month, whatever it is. And that's it.
Yeah, opioids, man. I know a lot of people who fucked up their lives on that. And I've heard a lot of stories of like, I broke my ankle and I was a father of four and a lawyer and now I'm on the street sucking dick for fucking heroin. And that's, yeah, I don't know. That just makes me... Jared Kushner's not doing much. Okay, you guys. Happy Pride.
Yes, we. I want to personally apologize. I did not realize that the last episode was going out on the first day of Pride, and I was like panicked, and I emailed Christina. I was like, "What the fuck? This is like everything that I care about," and I didn't even remember that this first episode because I'm so fucking busy about going on vacations. And don't worry, I'll never go on one for like 10 more years because I'm so mad at myself. But yeah, so obviously we always like to do something special on Guys We Fuck for Pride. The LGBTQ community has been so great to us. We love them. We embrace them. And so we've done a bunch of gay panels in the past with, you know, gay men. And we're like, you know what? Lesbians are very fucking overlooked. I just want to shout out. There's a lot of great lesbian listeners. You guys come out. I feel like you guys are overlooked a lot.
Yep.
It's not, maybe you're not the
guys are the shit,
flashiest, jazziest of the LGBTQ community, but we fucking love you. Today we have two comedians on. They are a married lesbian couple. We love them. This is such a great conversation. Please welcome to the show Jess Solomon and Iman El-Husseini.
I bought a pregnancy test and rainbow hair clips at the wedding on Saturday night. I was so distressed, I could cry, and if I don't see some red, I might. I might. Spent the morning in court, cause I ran the light. Told me to smile, how nice. I go back next week, the power of attorney in my veins. What a sign, what a sign. I better see some blood.
We are here with Iman and
Jess.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you guys?
Good.
So excited.
I never sit here. This is a new perspective on the podcast.
Oh, do you prefer sitting here?
Oh, I don't care. It doesn't matter to me.
Okay.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah, so, well, it's Pride Month, and so obviously we're wrangling all the LGBTQ comics, which I know must be so fucking irritating, but also we were kind of talking, and we've had, like, I have a very like close group of gay male friends, and I feel like that's very common for straight women. And I feel like, you know, trans people are getting a lot of, you know, attention these days. And then I feel like lesbians are honestly constantly overlooked.
Yeah.
And I think that sucks. And I also was trying to think of it, and I was like, maybe it's because lesbians are like stereotypically less flashy.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's it's not a lot of glitz and glam going on.
Yeah. You're not like, I'm here. Hello.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's more like just regular functioning relationships, which is, you know, sometimes boring to other people.
Yeah.
So I was like, let's just talk to two comedians who are married, But do I identify as lesbians? Because I know, like, some, like, Jessica Kirsten, for instance, I thought she identified as lesbian and does not identify.
Oh, really?
Even
what?
If she's married to a woman.
What does she identify as?
Something else. Like, bisexual? I'm not sure. But oh, wow. She, like, yes, like, it was very interesting because
really?
We interviewed her and she was like, yeah, no. Like, I am. But then, you know, it's like, I am married to a woman, but that doesn't necessarily make me a lesbian. Kind
I feel
of thing.
Like she's been married to more than one woman.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I guess I always identified as bisexual. And I used to do a lot more material about bisexuality on stage. But now I've been married to Iman for a while that I don't know. I just like I sometimes just identify as lesbian, or if people identify me that way, it just makes sense. It's just it's tiring.
Right.
Explain, because I mean, I don't think your sexual orientation expires necessarily just because sure. you're in a monogamous relationship one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, yeah, and bisexuality is a weird one where people are constantly like, prove it. Like, when was the last time you fucked a guy? We don't believe
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I've heard that a lot you from know? My bi friends of like, I'm always being either called like greedy or undecided. I'm like, you could like both.
I
God
know.
Damn. Like,
yeah.
People who are not straight get so just criticized on their sexuality and just all the time.
Yeah. I think people definitely feel like it's something that you're not, if you're someone who is now married to a woman, I think people just feel like, why don't you just identify as lesbian? I don't want to like have to prove stuff, and I just
yeah
some it's just easier to just
yeah.
identify as lesbian. But I feel like, I don't know, the term lesbian I think still has, maybe we grew up kind of feeling like it was something negative, you know.
Oh.
and maybe I don't know if that's the thing with Jessica.
Ooh,
is
phone over here, like,
with
buzz,
Jessica
sorry.
Kirsten
oh, sorry.
But
sure.
I do think it's like, I don't know, I think like, yeah, growing up I think the term lesbian was like something very negative and like,
well, did,
very
do you
like
remember hearing anything specific about it?
I mean, it just always had this connotation of like, I guess it was very
they're
tied
witches.
Up with like, yeah, with okay. like, yeah, with like, and also like feminism, like radical feminism,
just
and like we're lesbians.
Like that feminine,
and
I think, like, you know, I don't know if it's like kind of like dykey
also,
in quotes, kind of like that's what,
like
almost like
hair
a, or like a
thing?
Spinster who is never going to get, I feel like that's like, it's used as some kind of like an insult.
Yeah.
I know it's used towards
yeah.
me as an insult a lot.
Right.
And
yeah.
I'm like, I wish, because you guys are terrible. Okay?
Right, right, right.
I wish.
But I just feel like it's true. And the other thing is, I mean, and this is a more modern maybe issue with the word. And this comes from the whole trans movement,
yeah.
is that there is a group of radical. And I don't want to even call them lesbians. Like, they're just this group that exists. And I guess every group has them on the internet. These like very horrible, bigoted people.
Right.
Who are lesbian women who don't believe that trans women are women.
Mm-hmm.
So that like, and then there's a lot of like lesbians who maybe date non-binary like
right
people who mm-hmm. maybe have female body parts.
Yeah.
And so when they say I'm a lesbian, it means that they're also putting that person as a woman. Like, they're by, you know, by saying they're in a
right.
lesbian relationship,
right.
they're like,
okay.
and that person isn't a woman. So it's like,
oh,
so there's those are the more, like, there's the old school stuff of like how we grew up thinking like the word lesbian was like, oh, he like, I don't know, I'm just bisexual or whatever, or I'm queer or I'm gay or whatever,
yeah.
but not lesbian.
Yeah.
It sounds so not fun. And like, I'm going to like lecture you about, you know, Birkenstocks or whatever. But
yeah,
like,
I feel like it just needs a rebranding. Yeah. Like,
yeah.
feminism too. Like, we always talk about, but it just needs a
yes,
rebranding.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Lesbian
That's
feminism.
Because it missing a sense
yeah.
of humor.
Yeah, exactly. And but now today there's like new stuff wrapped up in it politically.
It's
that,
always
yeah.
fascinating to me how much other people care what other people are doing. Like the like a group of women on the internet that are like, trans women aren't women. Who gives a
yeah.
fuck whoever anybody
and,
is?
Yeah, and they're
just,
yeah.
Why don't you worry about yourself?
Totally.
It's crazy.
And I don't know if it's like it comes from this place of yeah, I guess they feel like they're like allowing men in somehow. I don't know. There was an episode of Transparent.
That's
we
what
watched.
I was going to mention. Yeah.
I don't know if you guys saw it. Where
did you watch that show at all? No.
No, I've heard great things about it, but then there was the Me Too incident, and I was like, yeah, don't need to start now.
Yeah, yeah. I got it in before that happened.
I was like, that's one TV show I don't have to watch now.
But they're keep. He's keeping his role,
yeah.
right? Why?
It
I don't
is?
Know. Yeah, apparently they're not going to fire him. I don't
oh.
know for what whatever reason.
Maybe they're picking.
I got.
I haven't read enough about it to comment.
Yeah, I don't know. I just
Everyone's
heard that he's going to. going to keep his job.
You don't need to know in order to comment.
Yeah.
In this world, exactly.
I know. I try. Because if we say something and we misquote or get a fact wrong, we'll hear about it.
Yeah,
which
yeah.
I kind of like because then it forces me to be on my toes. But
that's good.
Yeah.
Well, I got a note. By like the second season, I couldn't watch that show anymore.
Oh, yeah. Transparent. I enjoyed it. But there was an episode where Jeffrey Tambor goes to this sort of... feminist
like what stock
retreat
thing.
Yeah, in the mm-hmm. woods, and a lot mm-hmm. of women are naked, and it's not a lesbian thing, but there are a lot of lesbians and some old school feminists, and part of the rule was that you couldn't be a trans woman,
uh-huh.
and he didn't realize that, and he went with his daughter, and then someone told them, and they had like, yeah, it just became, it was a part of the storyline basically. But yeah, mm. it does happen at like dyke marches and stuff. You'll see these groups. There's not, it's not again like the majority of people or anything, but
yeah, there's always a small section of every like, kind
it,
of person.
It was just so surprising because out of all of the like gay groups, you feel like lesbians are like the most supportive and accepting. But I guess not.
Yeah.
every group has its.
To play devil's advocate, I think some of the concern is like, okay, so for women who are born women, you're treated as a woman all your life. And then for trans women, even if you are inside a woman your entire life, you are still not treated as a woman because you're presenting as a man. And that's a different life experience. And then when you just fully, when you transition, you know, say you transition at age 25, there's kind of a lot of like, baggage that you passed by. Of course, you have your own different baggage from being in like the wrong body.
Yeah.
But I think that's where it's coming
like
from discussions I've had. Not a bitterness, it's just like you've still gone through your life because you are presenting as a male, getting male privilege.
Mm, yeah.
You know, it kind of is like, I mean, people hate to like bring in like a Rachel Dolezal, but it is. It's not like she went through her life as a white person and then just started dressing as if she was African American.
Yeah.
So it's like, even if she felt like that, which is a different thing, she still went through her life being treated as like,
a white lady,
a white blonde lady, which is a much different experience. So like, I don't know if like if there's like more radical lesbians I have who are just like mad, but I think like when I've had conversations with people who have trouble with it, I think that's where the trouble lies. And I do understand that because it is different. And sometimes you talk to people who transitioned later in life. I'm specifically talking about male to female. There is kind of a disconnect in that and even Caitlyn Jenner made some comments like about being treated talked about like, you know, she's like, oh wow, this is weird, like everyone talks about my outfit all the time now, and you're like, yeah, this is what's like being a woman.
Yeah.
Like, so those aesthetic parts of being a woman, you're not going to know until you're outwardly presenting as one.
Yeah, because then people wouldn't treat you like that. People treat you with how they see it. If you're passing someone on the street, you don't fucking know.
Yeah, no, but I mean, that's not like get trans women out, like, you know, there's a difference
sure.
between
but
know,
when you talk about
things.
Like how come maybe people don't talk about lesbians that much, it's
right.
like, well, because none of us are men and never were, and so of course no one's talking about us because if you're taking men in any form out of the equation, you know,
nobody's interested,
nobody cares.
Yeah.
I mean, like, and also it's like, I mean, that's the thing about being a lesbian, it's like, well, you know, we're basically saying like, and that's the thing that people, you know, maybe don't like or are not interested in, it's like, well, no, men are not part of our
but it's not
life.
Like you hate you know? Them you just
no,
don't want
to
fuck them.
I'm so happy to be friends with them, but but I don't need them, you know,
right.
I'm not, their gaze isn't part
do
of
you
my
find
life
that men
they're
treat
not,
you weird like because of maybe that
I think I've always I find mostly it's men are more like titillated by, I mean maybe less now, but like definitely early when I was younger, I mean or more like, ooh, like they're more excited by it, maybe because
the possibility
we both were,
them being involved, though.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
I think
exciting.
It's because we're both feminine and we both have been with men, you know, for a large part of our lives. Yeah.
My one friend who's this like tall, blonde, like mermaid model-esque, she recently got into a relationship with a woman. And
ooh.
I remember we went out to a bar. We went out to a bar after a show, and this fucking dude kept going up to both of them, like, "Hey, what are you doing?" And the other girl, my friend's girlfriend, was like, "She's not interested. She's with me. Okay, see ya." And he wouldn't take her.
They don't believe it.
Oh my
he
god.
He was like, "Oh, that's cute."
Yeah.
I'm like, "Oh no, 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 no!" And it made me so fucking infuriated. I can't imagine getting that all the fucking time.
That
it would make me hate men, truly.
For
it
sure. Yeah, where were we? Where were we that that happened to us? We were like obviously having an intimate dinner.
It's like you're
just
not
like talking,
with
just me and her, not, you know, not looking at anything, having a good time.
Oh, yeah,
just like whatever. And this guy just, he couldn't handle it. He couldn't handle that we were having a good time without him being a part of it. He came to interrupt. Oh, you guys are so cute. Let me take a picture of you.
We didn't ask him for a picture.
I swear to God.
Zoo animals?
No, like he'll take it for us because we're so adorable. No, imagine.
Like I saw two lesbians in the wild.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It was nuts. And we're like, okay, thank you. So he takes a picture. Then he's like, oh. Then he like keeps pacing and we're just like, okay, we're really trying to just finish our fucking dinner.
Wow.
You know? And he came to sit down and he's like, let me tell you about the election.
At first he was like,
what? The election?
We're like, we have one. We're married. Yeah. Like, we are in
this town. It's true. Exactly. He's like, get a room.
Get a room.
Exactly.
He's like, you guys should get a room. We're like, yeah, we're married. We have one. And
then you just talk.
We're just talking, sitting down, talking, having a good time.
Even if you were fucking making out. Who gives a shit?
We were being like, for sure, intimate and coupley, but it's like.
Because like you're in love.
Leave us alone, you know.
Then he started. Yeah, there were a couple more steps before he like launched into something about Hillary.
So get a
Clinton.
Room, and then he took a. I'll take a picture. You guys are just too adorable. And then he literally just sat down at the table and started talking to us about the election and why Hillary Clinton is awful. We're like, oh my God, read your audience. Like,
I know. I was saying, that doesn't seem like the right conversation.
He was
for
just
you
terrible in every way.
Well, then I really launched into
then
him.
Then she
on
was
that,
just
but,
like,
forget
yeah.
it.
Oh, thank God.
And then he just like kind of didn't know what to do. And then he started saying, like, no, I think she's really great too, whatever. And I was like, okay, anyway.
No, obviously, you have to leave.
Just go away. Leave us alone.
It was like one of these, like, you know, they're both kind of the same. It was like, it wasn't like he said something like, yeah, but which was also awful.
But he sat down at your, oh my God.
Who does that? But I think.
So bizarre.
That brings it to the point at the beginning of the podcast of just saying being a lesbian just sounds so awful. You're so, always so turned off. And I think it's because being a lesbian means you don't need a man. And that's why it seems like such a negative thing.
Yeah. It doesn't mean you don't like men. It just means you don't need them. You really don't need them
What's
in your life. They're not a part of, you know, like you have them in your life by because you as a choice.
Because they're here.
Because they're here and you have friends
Share
and whatever. Yeah. But it's,
I feel like though the kind of guy that feels not included in the conversation, feels the need to sit down at the table.
Who does that?
Is also the kind of guy who says lesbians hate men.
Yeah.
But it's like the problem's him.
Yeah.
God, I hate when people can't see that.
Yeah.
But it's just like men who have problems with women. And then so like a woman choosing another woman is like another like
just
stab.
A punch in his balls.
But it's like it's this pattern of people taking things personally that like are not about them at all.
At all. No. Exactly.
Which, as comedians, we all are very familiar with.
Yeah.
Constantly.
Don't think with your vagina. That was the whole thing about voting for Hillary. You're voting with your vagina.
Don't think with your vagina.
Or don't think with your And I mean, are you kidding me? The whole
so
Donald Trump
insulting.
Is just like, just about voting with your fucking dick and
or
just like support
skin.
It or your white skin. Absolutely.
Yeah, your orange skin. Yeah.
So it's like whatever they're saying about you is basically exactly who they are.
Yeah.
You know, it's just
people projecting their insecurities constantly and their self-hatred for themselves.
Yeah.
Well, of course you're going to vote a little bit with your vagina. Like it's a big part of who you are. I don't even think that's negative. Like that's why, like, you know, voting with your dick, it's like, okay, well, it's a part of you. It shouldn't be all of you. I think they just mean like don't leave, but it's insulting because they think we're voting for someone just because she's a chick. I'm like, there's plenty of terrible women in this world.
For sure.
And I'd be happy to point them, but that doesn't matter.
I wouldn't vote for Betsy DeVos.
Neither would I. She's
terrible. Nancy, what's her name?
Or Jill Green.
What's her name?
Or Jill Green.
The Republican one from Alaska.
Joel
forget.
Stein.
Green Sarah Party. Palin.
Sarah Palin.
Or the CIA woman, the torture queen.
Oh yeah, that lady.
That everyone on
there's
the Republican,
so many terrible
there's
ones.
There's a lot
so
of
many.
Whenever there's like a story about a female murderer, I'm like, see guys, we can do it too. It's kind of like,
oh, I'm always like, whoever she killed probably deserved it. That's why I think when a woman murders
like,
somebody, I'm like, exactly.
Yeah.
You know what she had to do to get there emotionally.
That's
Have you both dated men in the past?
I know. So Jess is my first real relationship.
Okay.
And
with
first
a man,
love
with anyone
in general. So I always just really like kind of fooled around before strictly with men.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then the fooling around went to her afterwards, and then I married her.
How'd you guys meet?
It was so much better. Comedy.
And then how did it start?
Like, yeah, we had a because
you were, speaking did, of men, did you identify how did it start? As, oh, yeah.
Did you identify with a sexual orientation?
So I identified for the longest time as straight, and then a closeted lesbian while I was with her for like a couple of years.
She was mildly homophobic.
Even. I wasn't homophobic.
No, but you like made a lot of jokes about lesbians.
I made a lot of jokes about everybody.
Okay.
Well, maybe because you. was it ever like a thought that you had that you
never?
Because I'm always so curious. Because I was telling Jess, I was like, you know, I always identify as straight, but I was like, maybe I just haven't met the right woman. But I like, I totally
the white woman.
No, I'm narcissistic. The person would be white, but like really white, just like me, like the palest motherfucker on the planet. But how, like, so how do you, just how did you even start, who initiated?
Yeah, how did you know she won? Who hit on who?
It was, did I ever think about it? I didn't. I always had like gay friends and stuff like that. I was at gay bars all the time. And it's true that I made a lot of lesbian.
Oh, no, you had Helen. No, you did. Actually, you're right. And also she has a lot of like French friends and French women in, you know, Quebec.
They fall around a lot. I was always at gay clubs, like very pro gay, but it's true that I made fun of lesbians and gay men. I mean, Philip felt like I bullied him all of my life. Anyway, childhood friend. Anyway. So I never really thought about it, but I had a lot of straight girlfriends who fooled around with women.
Sure.
They're all like married with kids. And anyway, when they brought that up, I was just like really surprised, since I'm a comedian. I'm like, I'm practically a lesbian. I cannot believe that I haven't fooled around with a woman while these like women who are married are like all over that shit. Anyway, so it started. And there weren't a lot of gay people on the scene. Jess was one of them. Mm-hmm. And I love redheads. So it's sort of like I looked at her in a different light that I hadn't seen. Because we knew each other for like 2 years before anything ever happened.
Did that conversation with your straight married friends change how you saw Jess?
It just coincided with the next time seeing Jess with her ex-girlfriend. I'll never forget, at the comedy club where I worked at. Jess was there with her ex-girlfriend. And I just saw her in a different light, where Jess was sitting next to her girlfriend. And she just put her hand on her leg. And I was like, oh, she's kind of sexy. Uh-huh. I've never seen her that way before, you know. I didn't see her sexy from the beginning. Is that what's surprising?
No.
I'm kidding.
No. I don't see myself like that.
Well, I never saw you like that either. Anyway,
I used to be very like flirty and stuff. I guess I still am.
You still, big time. I mean, it's unbelievable.
I accidentally go on dates all the time without realizing it's a date.
I said, well, now it doesn't matter, but I used to do that all the time. Yeah.
I'm like, we're just friends. We're going to talk about comedy.
No, once we were on the road together, it was one of the first times that we worked together in comedy. We were in Halifax. And after Jess went on first and she did her set, and this girl came to like compliment her set. And I'm standing right there. And the girl's like, that was so great. And Jess like, you smell really good. And I was like,
you told her what kind of
like? I felt like I had to compliment her back.
You know what? I've said that to girls before.
And I perfume was nice.
Sometimes they do smell good.
And I'm like, should I leave? Like, should I leave you two alone? Anyway, she went to the bar with her and she bought you a drink.
Yeah,
and
okay.
So. I'm like, it's a good thing that I'm going on stage. I'll give you privacy. You know? I know.
She did. She went up on stage so I could have some time alone.
So you had like half an hour or whatever.
Were you like stewing on that in your brain during the set?
No, I'm like just not surprised, you know? She's just, I know.
It's true, because I went on a date with a guy. I didn't realize it was a date, but it was when we were not married. So now that we're married, it's easier because I say my wife. But when I would say my girlfriend, they just thought like girlfriend. Yeah, that was also a thing.
I call my girlfriends all the time.
Oh, I had to, once I realized I was a date, then I was.
I told her, I'm like, every single time she'd go out with somebody, I'm like, you know, you're going on a date right now. Like, she called me from Ottawa and she's like, oh, this fan is coming to pick me up. We're going to this like gay party.
It was Halloween.
And I'm like, but you're actually going on a date. Do you know she's coming to pick you up? Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
Anyway, so I'm used to it, but she does. I always joke that she has a going down on you resting face. Does it? She? I mean, resting going down on your face.
Resting. Going down on your face.
That's her face. Her resting face is going down on you.
Like she
wants to go down on you. I guess is like
her tongue is out of her mouth half the time. I mean, it's a disaster.
Are you guys monogamous?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know.
Besides those accidental dates.
Yeah. I feel like, have you been eaten out by guys?
in your life?
Yeah.
How much better are women at it? And that's just my hunch. I don't know.
Honestly,
I tried to go. Jess, I guess is the
I tried to eat a girl out once, and
mine is
I,
really easy though.
I did. It.
I don't think come? It's
yeah. You come
I'm the easiest person ever. That's so amazing, that's why though. I couldn't say that guys or Jess okay. is better, honestly.
Because some guys
it doesn't
I mean,
take
met,
much.
I've
so.
Met guys that are fucking incredible at it, but I would imagine the one time I went down on a woman, I was so nervous. I was like, I should know what I'm doing because I have one. But and she was like, that was great, but it was only for like 20 seconds. So like, you should have kept going.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Oh, I was yeah. scared.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes it is like scary. 10 minutes. Yeah, 15 minutes maybe.
Even yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't
but
know. I mean,
how long does it take you? Because you're easy to. How long
to learn
come?
Stuff?
No. How long
to come?
Come?
I could. I'm a very like very how, quick.
Like
really?
5 yeah. minutes or under.
I could be under.
Okay.
What's
yeah.
like your shortest
depends.
Area?
Yeah.
It depends. She has to like yeah. yeah. It depends on the warm up.
You have a magical vagina. Yeah. That's
well, especially
really cool.
with oral sex. I mean, I feel like that's just the easiest way to come because it just feels so great.
Yeah, yeah. It's not our never, preferred
it's
method.
Not our main, yeah.
Oh yeah,
it's not our main.
Yeah, we
think
that we're not really that gay because I feel like everybody, yeah.
everybody yeah. thinks lesbians just scissor and go down on each other,
well,
and
I
it's
heard
not.
From my lesbian friends, scissoring isn't even a real thing.
It's not a real thing.
Okay. Sounds fun. Like when I was a kid,
we've
and I was
done
like,
it,
my first
but...
way of masturbating was humping everything, and then yeah. and then when oh, I saw yeah. porn, of course it's all directed and made by dudes, so it's yeah. just chick scissoring. But I'm like, that kind of sounds fun.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It is. It's good, but it's not the main thing. And going down. That's why we don't
What's
think we're really
well,
gay.
I guess I'm more of a penetration person.
Penetration all the
Do
way.
Do you peg?
You mean yeah, like you
where
mean
yeah,
strap on yeah,
yeah.
Oh, I guess, is it yeah? It's called pegging.
I guess
yeah.
I always thinking that is it not I was called like, pegging? I guess I always associated pegging with a girl doing that to a guy.
Yeah, me
but
too.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
But is it still pegging when a girl does it to a girl?
I don't know. I guess
you guys
like, never
call
really
it?
Call it.
Oh,
I mean,
getting
well, we have names for the thing, so we
Leo.
Say Leo.
Leo.
Yeah. Wait, you call the dildo Leo?
Yeah.
Is that like Leonardo DiCaprio?
Like
no, ew,
Leo.
Ew, just Leo.
Leo.
I don't know how
She's
we pick
Leo.
Leo.
I don't know where
I'm
Leo,
a Leo maybe.
I call
I
my
know.
Plant. This is Dennis, the plant. So, you know,
Dennis.
Sometimes
yeah,
you name
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
I don't know, Leo, yeah.
I don't know how we picked Leo. I can't remember.
Yeah, did you have multiple dildos?
I had
you
different
gotta,
ones
you
in the past
them.
With others, but...
what was the one right before, but we had to get rid of that one?
Why?
I forget what we called it.
Well, because she probably used it with a million people.
No,
but, not a million, but...
I've only been with two other girls besides her.
I can't remember. We had one before, and then we bought Leo together.
Yeah, the one that I yeah, but maybe that's too much.
And then I couldn't. And I had,
what
Can
I haven't.
I did with, not. I was about to say I couldn't get like a real life skin looking one. So we went with purple. I just couldn't deal with a yeah.
Oh,
with
you the mean one that looks realistic.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Not
realistic.
Like a dick.
Yeah, I didn't want
oh,
that.
Oh yeah, because that's not. That's not part of the fantasy.
That was my only thing. So we got a proposal.
Do you find dicks repulsive now?
I'm so, yeah. So I was going to say, so I went from being straight, or thinking I was straight, to closeted lesbian for like a couple of years.
Why closeted?
I mean,
I can understand why, but I'm curious what you
think.
It
was a completely new identity for me to embrace, to be like, I can't believe I fell in love with her. I thought we were going to fool around a couple of times and that's it. But now
well,
I'm like,
too,
I'm
I was
head over heels.
In love with somebody else. This woman.
Yeah. She was totally in love with somebody else. Yeah.
No, I told her like at the
both
beginning.
Of, but both of us, we were sort of like, she was just like, by the way, if this girl comes back for
well,
me.
Well, she was
I'm,
married and I was having this affair and it had to end. And she was
three generations of cheater, by the way. This
woman.
Third generation.
My grandmother.
Father and,
my, and
her
yeah.
grandmother.
Yeah, yeah.
Cheaters.
Well, then,
this
then
is what I'm dealing with.
It's in your DNA.
It is.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Wait, was the woman that you were having an affair with married to a man or a woman?
A woman.
But she had young kids. Anyway, it was like lasted about a year. And I was just kind of going through that.
When
like,
you were waiting
maybe,
for her to break up
I thought
up
maybe
with...
she would. Yeah. I mean, we broke up, but I still held that hope.
Well, it's nice to know that lesbians like, are dumb like that, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Big straight chicks.
No. Yeah. She left her. She ended up leaving her wife eventually, but only once we were getting married.
Oh.
But did she
have
you
in mind?
No. Oh. I mean.
No,
that,
she just
no.
came back. She came back around like a couple of months ago, though.
Yeah, but that was more
to
well, she was no, because she was yeah, she was in New York and she again, back to the perfume. She smelled somebody with the same perfume as me and she let me know.
She's like, isn't that nice? She's like, isn't that nice? We could all go out for coffee or a drink together. I'm like, she said she smelt your perfume. She's flirting with you. She's just like testing the water.
You knew that, right,
Jen? No, she thought we were.
No, but I, you know, she's not. She's really like, does not. She really stayed away though.
She did stay away.
That was like one message in like 3 years or something.
Did she know that you were with Iman?
Like, she knows that we're married and everything now. So she never came back and was like. Okay. You know,
she wanted to see if she could get away with flirting with you.
Exactly.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
So rewind.
We don't talk. I mean,
this is like if you and I were dating.
Oh my God.
Because I'm so naive to everything. And Corinne's like, no, this is what she meant when she said this. I'm like,
Yeah.
That's probably possible.
So, how we hooked up.
I had just ended things with the married woman.
What a beautiful feminism.
No, it's all like we're.
It was very depressing.
We were at the bar in the comedy club in Montreal at the time that existed.
Okay.
That Iman worked. We all hung around there. They had a bar downstairs and the comedy club upstairs. So the bar downstairs was a big hang, and we were all drinking. I was depressed because of having to break things up with the married lady because she wanted to give her marriage. Work on her marriage. We have a common friend, a comedian in Montreal named Massimo, who looks like a Massimo. He looks like a Belushi brother, Italian.
I think we've seen him in Montreal.
He's very funny, good friend. His father had just passed away.
His father had just died, so he's drinking.
Everyone's doing great.
Iman and Massimo have this thing where they like
we used to fool around.
And then. So they maybe started fooling around, and then he started kissing me, and he was basically trying to have a threesome with us. And that's what put the idea in my head of Iman, who I'd always known as straight, and I was really busy with my whole affair, and my ex that was like harassing me, and I had to get a restraining order. And so I was very busy with my own stuff. So I didn't really think of her in that way because she was straight. So it was really just Massimo like introducing the idea of a threesome that even sparked the whole...
Oh, did you guys have
three men to thank?
Well, that's it. Well, he was like, why don't you broads kiss? So, yeah.
God damn it. I hate giving that credit, but we thanked him at our wedding.
Did we do it on our Friday night?
Did you not ever in front have of our friends? No.
You're like, no, everyone
you
was too drunk.
No. We are going to fuck, but we won't. You go home.
Well, exactly. So we didn't need him in the end of the whole thing, but he did.
We didn't need him.
Yeah.
But so wait, what was your first time having sex with a woman? Like what? And did you tell her?
Oh, we were hammered. I mean, I was hammered. Yeah.
Because
so now it was like we were always at this bar. It was always a party time at the Comedy Works. So we would be drinking all the time. So we fooled around. And then I, one of the nights I just basically like was so drunk. And I was like, she's like, okay, I'll put you in a cab. And I'm like, I don't know where I live. And then
and I was like, okay.
Okay. I forgot my address.
The only time you picked up a hint was that.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you.
But meanwhile, she still insists that she really couldn't remember.
I promise you, I couldn't. I'm like, I was so hammered.
Yeah.
When I tell you, I used to work at that bar from 4 o'clock in the afternoon until like I drink for like 8 hours and like shots of vodka.
Ooh,
it was like, it was deadly. It was that how I'm still alive today is unbelievable. Anyway, but of course it was like a combination of like having feelings for her, but not being confused and not knowing what to do. And like subconsciously, I obviously wanted to like fool around with her.
Yeah.
So
did you know
what to do? I did not know anything. Oh my God. She had to, I mean, how terrible was I? You can tell me.
That's what I'm so curious about.
This is another reason why I never thought that I was a lesbian. I'm like so terrible with my hands. Not to be stereotypical, like I'm just not a handsy person.
So are a lot of straight men.
Yeah. So I'm like a straight guy trapped in a lesbian's body. I don't know. I don't know what it is, but I'm like not. So there was no indication that I could have been until that whole thing sparked with Jess.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. In my 30s. Like,
I was going to say, I was like, how old were you?
30.
What is it like to tell your family?
30, 31. Disaster. Horrible.
Really?
Can you walk us through that a little bit?
Yeah.
Coming out at 30 when you didn't even know, you didn't even have that.
Well, I didn't have
that. It was a long time. It was really the first couple of years because she kept breaking up with me every 2 minutes.
Yeah, I was like a mess.
And so we were in the closet in comedy other than like two or three close friends for 4 years. We only told people when we posted that we were engaged on Facebook.
Oh, wow.
Wow, yeah.
Here, when we were in New York.
In New York, I didn't care. I wasn't really closeted in New York, was I? I mean, with New Yorkers, I didn't care because nobody knew me, you know?
Yeah, no one gives a shit.
We were at the Grizzly Pear on like a Sunday afternoon at a mic the first time, and she just got up and just started talking about it.
Right.
I was like, okay.
I guess we're out of the closet now.
Yeah. The first person you told was, do you guys know Liz Glazer? Did you
meet
her? Yeah, yeah. It was Liz Glazer.
She's so easy to talk to.
She's very warm. I could see her being the first person.
Yeah.
So that just, we just randomly met her at this mic. And then that's when you started. And I was like, okay, I guess this is what we're doing.
It's, yeah.
Wow. That's fun.
Yeah. But it took me a while.
So first of all, I had to come to terms that so we fool around drunk at her house, wake up the next day. She's like, by the way, if that woman comes back for me, like, I'm going to be in a relationship with her. And I'm like, relax.
Yes. Don't fall in love with me.
First of all, I really thought we were going to fool around like a couple of times. Yeah. You psycho, you know.
You are like a straight man.
Right?
It's
oh
my
true. God. So anyway, but then, I mean, 2 months in, I was like head over heels. Honestly, it took like 2 months of us fooling around. And we knew that we were going to fool around more because I work at a bar. We're drunk all the time. We're drinking all the time. It was like the hang of the town.
Drinking makes you so horny.
Yeah, exactly.
We're there.
We're there all the time. Yeah. But then when I fell in love with her, that's when I started really like going in panic mode. So for a year, I would just break up with her like every 2 seconds because I'm like, I don't know what to do. Like, how could you be the first person I fell in love with in my life? And, you know,
the first woman.
And the first woman. And now it's like just my whole identity was like flipped around.
Yeah, and all of her comedy too.
My comedy was like super straight, you know.
And was starting to like record TV stuff and it's all this persona plus all these Arab gigs and all of her comedy is
it was horrible.
And I imagine like coming out as a lesbian doesn't get you more Arab gigs.
No, exactly. Arab gigs or Italian gigs or any of those gigs that I would always get in like these freaking suburbs, these ethnic gigs. I'm like, I'm going to lose everything. Uh-huh. And I had just started like, year five of my career. I had just started, like it started launching. I got Just for Laughs. I got a bunch of stuff, a TV special, the whole thing.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So the timing was horrible. And then coming out to my parents, I'm like, forget it. My parents are never going
to. People have to lead with their sexuality. Like in a comedian sense, it's like, oh, if you're a lesbian, then you're a lesbian comic. No, you're a fucking comic. Like,
yeah.
People are so unable to
see. They're so focused on
beyond
that.
Something that's different.
Yeah. So she didn't want that. She wanted to become famous and mainstream.
I wanted to be famous and mainstream. And I
totally
don't forget, when I started comedy like over 10 years ago, I'm surrounded by comedy club owners who are overtly sexist and racist, who like repeatedly say that women are not funny, hate Arabs and Muslims, tell me not to open up with like my Muslim identity off the top because it turns people off. Like, this is how I got my training at the beginning of my career. So I'm like,
owners told you to not leave?
That I knew. So it was the guy that I worked for. And the guy at the comedy club in the next town.
Definitely there's been some changes in the last few years.
Thank
but
God.
10 years ago was a different.
So now
it's interesting. So you had to hide that or like suppress that down.
I had to suppress everything.
And then when you started falling for Jess, you had to press that down.
But thank God that's a change because now like lesbian Muslim is like jackpot.
Yeah.
Like, it's the best thing ever.
You're welcome. Yeah. Well, I kept telling her you ruined my career when I met her because I'm like, nobody's going to hire me. I'm going to, you know, it's over.
And that's why I thought she was like, I got that pride gig and I was like, oh, good for you. That's cool.
Oh, you're doing pride now. Okay, good.
Anyway, so the whole thing was
they
scary.
They want a woman of color who's also gay, Jess. So
suck it.
Yeah. Well, that's why for a long time at the beginning, I'm like, oh, I wonder if she's like a Mossad agent that was like sent from Israel to ruin my career because this Palestinian girl is about to become a star.
Oh, yeah. she's
so she came to sabotage my career.
She doesn't have a self-esteem problem.
You never know. Harvey Weinstein was using Mossad agents, so it's possible.
Yeah.
It's possible.
Black cube or something. Yeah. Well, it's true because it was sort of unlikely because my before comedy, I worked at the UN. I was a war crimes lawyer, and like it was like a kind of crazy transition. And then just locally in Montreal, I had a couple of news articles that weren't about like, oh, she's so good at comedy, but it was like, who does this career change.
Right. And I'm like, somebody who's going to kill me. That's basically who
it did seem like it had all been kind of fled. Yeah.
Lawyer?
She was co-workers with Amal Clooney. They were coworkers.
That's what I started talking about it on stage. Yeah, recently.
Wow.
So anyway, so it did like so
anyway,
it, and at the time I was like really in shape and I spoke a few languages and because I'd worked at anyway whatever. So
you look in shape. No,
you look
what do you
in
mean?
Shape. Yeah. You lose like, the languages or
what? And I spoke a few languages.
Yeah, but did you lose them? Do you not speak?
Oh no, no, and I still speak those languages. But it
but it just seemed like who is this person that's so like. High achieving that's coming into the comedy world.
Yeah, I mean, I could
it just did not add up.
Then it's like, you know what? You really want this. You really want this.
They sent me to like blend into the comedy scene in Montreal and yeah, and you're going to, you know, be so popular that people are going to support the Palestinian cause.
Yeah.
That is so
and
fun.
And so I have to stamp it out, you know.
And this is fast forward couple, like her baby. It turns out her brother-in-law is like
and my brother-in-law
we find out that
a
he's
spy.
A spy.
No, there were things. Wow. There I'm were telling things. You, I'm there like, were things. Yeah, it made like and I also at one point decided to like play it up as if it was, you know, true just to like freak her out.
Wow. You guys are fun.
So that was, you know, one of the early.
What did you do? Did you like tap jokes. That? Were you like, oh, is that a camera?
No, I'm just. Well, the camera. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Are you? Oh, are you wired?
Like, she's like waking up. I've got the pillow.
Can you say that again louder? With my collar.
So wait, what was coming out for each of you like?
Well, this one, it's a walk in the park. Everything she does is just like, no problem. You know, she just like comes out to her mother. She comes out to anything.
Well, no problem, but I was.
She tells everybody everything. She has a big mouth, you know, like she, and I'm a lot, like I don't express myself as well. She talks about every single thing. And I'm just like.
So well. I mean, you just don't, you're more private, you're saying.
Well, yeah, I just don't talk to every single person, mm-hmm. you know, So, and of course,
except
the fear of losing, except for Liz Glazer,
but cool, it's fine.
Coming out to my parents was also, just because my parents went through so much, like moving us to Canada,
from
the Middle East, so escaping wars, like
how
going through,
old were you when you
and
moved
they're
from
like,
the
thanks, we get
well,
it,
that's it,
and
already,
you're gay.
Exactly, and I already like dropped out of university. For fucking comedy.
Oh, shit.
You know, so I came out as a comedian first, which was a disaster to them. And then now, like, I'm you know, this thing.
But
I'm
what
gonna
was
going
to What did you say to them? What did they say back to you? Like,
so
how did that conversation
I think
go?
I told them 2 years in.
They had met me
after
as
Shireen's
a
wedding.
Mm. Yeah. That's how it always starts. Yeah.
Well, I just wanted to make sure. I knew that if I was going to introduce her as my girlfriend, they're going to not like her. And I knew she's a very likable person. So I'm like, introduce her as
her first.
Wonderful person that she is.
Very smart.
And of course they loved her. She's so, you know, lovely and polite and the whole thing that parents would like. And then I went to a wedding. That's what happened.
College.
I went to a wedding. You finished college. You were a lawyer. And I went to a wedding. A friend of mine, a Palestinian girl who married a Swiss guy. So we went to that wedding and I decided like after that wedding, I was going to come out to my parents. I don't remember what the timing was. And why and whatever. But that's when I decided.
What did you say?
So I was just like, I just went to a wedding. It was so fun. It's so great that, because of course for them, it's like marrying a Muslim guy was a must. Imagine.
Oh, wow. And he married a white lady.
Yeah. Well, they knew that I was probably not going to marry like in a conventional way because I was always, I fought with them since I was a child, like about everything.
And they started to accept, like, you kind of go against the grain.
Totally.
Yeah.
A little bit. I mean, not accept it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I just told, you know, my friend Shireen, her wedding was amazing. She married the Swiss guy. They had a ceremony that their friend did. No religion. Beautiful. And they're like, great. Did you meet anybody at the wedding? And I'm like, oh, I don't need to meet anyone.
I'm
already.
Getting nervous just using.
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, my brother, my sister left the house. Everybody was like, okay, we'll just like come in an hour,
Did your brother and sister
half
know?
An hour. They knew.
Okay.
Especially my sister and I are very close.
Okay.
So my sister is like, okay, I'll come into the house like half an hour into like, you know, damage control. Because we knew that my parents are not going to react. Like, we knew that my parents are not going to high-five.
We both have very straight sisters who have been very good, like, in between people.
Oh, good.
Between
both
of our parents.
Look, you got a straight one. Now can I do what I want to
do? So basically, isn't that great? And they're like, oh, did you meet somebody at the wedding? And I'm like, no, I don't need to meet somebody. You know that I'm with someone. Because I had introduced her just briefly before this coming out. And they're like, no, who are you with? And just like got so happy that I met somebody. Aww. Just like the biggest smile. Like, who is it? And then, you know?
Oh my God.
And I'm like, Jess.
Hold on to the core.
And they still have a tall mountain to climb, guys. Yeah. Just stick with me.
So that smile. And then what turned, they say. I mean, my mom instantly began to cry. And my father was just like shaking his head. He's like, but that's like they're convinced that it's not normal to be gay. Just like, but that's not normal. And you're both like great girls. That. Like, what's the problem? Like asking me what the problem. I'm like, exactly. We're both great girls. We're into each other because we're both great. And it's so awesome. And I'm so happy. And I know that you're not on board. Take your time with it. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to tell you. Like, I was
that's
so.
Like you had a lot of patience with them.
Because I'm so angry usually. And I'm just like fighting all of the time. I called them ISIS like a million times. It's like not even.
I would be so pissed if I were your parents.
I'm like so. I'm such an angry person.
That's fucking hilarious, though.
So,
God, mom, you're like ISIS. Stop. Yeah. Did you used to call them Taliban before ISIS?
I did. I called them everything. I mean, it's just it's a community. God. They come from a community that's so backwards and is like not embarrassed by it. They're just like that's our culture. Like that's our culture. That's what we believe in.
Like, what's an example of something that they're not embarrassed by that shocks you?
Like women and men are equal, and they're like, ha, ha, ha. That's hilarious. No, I mean not that bad. My dad is very progressive, but it's like. They are okay.
No, I know plenty of American dads that are like I know that. Close that don't
my dad is very progressive.
He also was like,
in
well, maybe you know, you guys could remain close and marry brothers.
Oh yeah, that was one of his suggestions.
That's actually kind of like
that's strange. But he was like trying to figure out how we could stay close.
Yeah,
in an acceptable.
That was his solution. I forgot about that.
Yeah,
that's him trying to fight what he was taught, you know.
I sometimes feel like coming out as a lesbian is easier than coming out like as a gay man to dads. Do you for some reason it feels like a softer blow, even though it shouldn't be a blow at all to parents. Yeah.
Well, because when a guy is gay, he's like. Looking for other dudes.
Like not
so.
Masculinity.
Yeah, it's not masculine. I think everyone just thinks about anal bullshit. Sex. I mean, I think when
I agree.
You know, I think you're thinking about anal sex.
Yeah, I know. And lesbians can have anal sex too.
Yeah.
You know, but no, not everybody. You know, everyone's mostly thinking about just you're going down on each other. And it's like, there's not like,
there's
we're not
so much
thinking
more.
About like people like ramming each other.
Lesbians
and like
can have
your
anal
boy
sex
being
too.
Like a feminine, you know.
Right. Dan Savage says that all the time about like a lot of times when gay men come out to their parents and it's a hard time. It's like part of the reason why everyone has such a fucking hard time about it is they're envisioning their loved one having anal sex. And it's
I know.
God damn.
I don't have to think about any of my family having any type of sex.
Right. I know, exactly.
Gay, straight, whatever.
Why are you so obsessed with this, what they're doing? Ooh, that's weird.
Because that's the whole thing of coming out as, you know, as gay is that it's like it is a sexual, you know, it's a thing that you're saying like I'm attracted to the same sex, so people will start imagining like what you do,
right?
I guess for some reason, because it's not the default. And then but for trans people, they have to almost like have their whole life, they have to change their, it's like they change completely as a person. Like I didn't change anything about me other than like my sexual life, but
right.
Like
you didn't
nothing,
have to match
yeah
your,
nothing,
how you felt inside
yeah,
with
nothing
outside,
physically
yeah.
about me changed in any way.
Whereas or personality. Like, that's what you would tell me when you tried to encourage me to like come out sooner than I, because it took me forever. You'd always be like, everybody's going to see you're still the same person, because I was so concerned with my identity being perceived so differently.
Yeah,
but
like
nothing changed.
Where it's
you
like,
know?
Well, now you're like, you have to like say goodbye to the person you knew. Like they actually like change, you know, it's like almost like a death. You know, and that's like, I feel like that's, anyway, not that. We shouldn't talk about trans people get enough attention anyway.
This is about lesbian.
Did you feel like at all like realizing that you were lesbian? Did you feel like did you feel disappointed that you were lesbian? Like in yourself? I know sometimes I feel like I have friends who are in the closet and like they feel almost like disappointed.
For my parents.
For
not
your parents,
for me.
Not for you.
Not
okay.
for me. I mean at this point, so talking about how I identify now, I'm like, I don't know. I thought
I
that
say,
after
aren't you like pansexual, isn't pansexual just the person?
I don't even know. Yeah,
you're just attracted to the person, and it's not like.
Well, pansexual is that you're attracted
to
any gender,
anybody.
Right?
The problem with bisexual that people have said recently is that it reinforces a gender binary, and that you're, you know, which is so. another reason to hate bisexuals. But anyway, so people use pansexual as a way to get around that. But it just basically means, yeah, you're attracted to any gender, non-conforming. Yeah.
Now, so I always thought that if it didn't work out with Jess and I just go back to men. But 7 years, we've been together 7 years. I really don't know how easy it would be to just go back to.
And do you find yourself like attracted to other women in the way that you would like passing down the street, like, oh, that person's hot, and you like, it's more so women?
I mean, I don't know.
You can say if you are.
Janelle Monáe.
I'm really just curious because like in the porn you watched, are you watching lesbian porn?
So rarely. Straight women watch lesbian porn.
But
I think it's because they seem like they're not acting as much, like they're actually enjoying it.
For me, it's
it.
Just less aggressive, and I feel like the people in it are not getting punched. Abused, yeah. Probably. Yeah. That's why I like
I kind of like the borderline abuse. This is a horrible thing to say,
kink,
but yeah.
In kink, it's not abuse. Like,
yeah,
it's
of course.
It's consensual.
So. Like, Jess only watches gay guy porn.
Not only, but
really?
Mostly.
Yeah, mostly.
Ooh,
yeah.
That's interesting. I like gay guy porn too. Yeah. But just sometimes it has to be like really like masculine-y feeling gay men.
Yeah.
Like there can't be any twinks involved, which is.
I like it when it's like a twink and a bigger twink guy.
Okay.
Yeah, ooh, like a bear.
Yeah.
See, like bears. Yeah.
Bears.
Yeah. I just, though partly for the reason that I feel like less guilty. Even if they are being abused, I'm like,
right, okay. It's hard because like talking about porn and like porn with porn stars so much, it's like made me like think about porn too much. And I mean, that's a good thing, you know, paying for porn, you know, work conditions on sets. But then you're like, well, how am I going to come now?
Yeah. Well, that is the catch.
I don't want to make this about me.
Yeah. But that was one of the things that we bonded about was.
Porn, our taste in porn. I mean, well, one of the first times we watched it together, I'm like, oh, what words do you use in the search engine?
I'm finding that out about somebody.
Yeah. And that's when I knew I was going to marry her. Because what did you write? Humiliation, I think. That's what you picked. Dude. And I was like, that is my future wife.
It has great humiliation porn. It's really
hot. I
have
seen it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's very hot.
She's like, I have everything downloaded.
I really hope.
Wait, what's more specifically like? Do you watch porn together? Do you guys watch porn together?
We have, for sure.
We have, yeah.
I mean nothing recent, but
I guess we've just been married for so long.
Yeah, it's like, we know what to. Yeah.
Well, what about the humiliation? Do you like humiliating? Do you like being humiliated, or do you just thought that was like fun that she wrote that?
No, I like really like hardcore porn with the. Girl being like,
she doesn't like when the girl like she's having fun.
Yeah, you really are a straight guy.
Yeah. Right?
The worst one I ever saw was like someone was like, a girl was like forced to vomit and then eat her own vomit out of a dog.
Oh, I wouldn't like
you
that.
Into that?
No.
Do you watch the ones, like a lot of times kink.com, the ones that are really intense, it'll have interviews with them afterwards and sometimes before.
Yeah. I hate that interview.
But that's the only reason I know though that they liked it.
Right. Because you don't need to watch the video, but you know that they're.
Yeah, I just want to know it's there. I only needed to watch one to go, okay.
Yeah, but when you watch Hot Girls Wanted, the TV series.
Oh, I didn't watch that yet.
A lot of that is just they're being fed lines. It's the same way as like you know when like someone gets kidnapped by ISIS and they're like, "Hi, I'm here."
But
someone's feeding them lines.
Oh, so that interview isn't real.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, it's like nothing's
that's
real.
True.
Yeah. Like reality TV isn't real. Porn isn't real. Nothing's real.
That's true.
I met a comedian in Western Canada who did porn too.
Yeah,
and he was just one of the porns that really made him quit porn, and I don't know if he's done it ever since, was a gangbang scene with a girl and where everybody like came on the girl afterwards and it was apparently so disgusting. It made him cry and vomit and
what?
Yeah, really.
All they did was come on her?
Yeah. Well, they all like fucked her. I don't know how many they were.
Not at the same time.
Taking turns, I guess. Yeah. Or like maybe two guys at the same time or whatever. Anyway, apparently that was the porn that he was just like, I couldn't do that.
Right. Yeah, I gotta step away. Yeah. Yeah, no, that doesn't
I haven't seen porn yet that made me go, damn, good for the
vomit one made me take a long pause from porn. I also don't like animal sounds coming from women.
Me neither.
No, thank you.
No.
Did the vomit one give you a heads up on the vomit?
I mean, it came really pretty fast. I don't like porn with a lot of plot.
Yeah,
I would just watch a movie.
Yeah, like I was watching '90s porn last night with this guy, and it was so much. The acting so much better in '90s porn.
Oh yeah.
Oh really?
Like way better.
Well, because it talks about this too in Hot Girls Wanted, because it's all about the connection between like pornography and technology, and our attention span is getting so short that it's like you got to get right to it. And they interviewed this really interesting Erica Lust, who's like a female porn director. Who I then went to follow on Twitter, and I was like, she already follows me.
Cool.
She's amazing. And then I had this whole thing where I was like, I think I'm gonna become because I have a BFA in directing. I was like, you know what, this is my calling. I think I'm gonna transition to porn directing.
You direct some really good porn.
I feel like, well, because it's a big problem, like women aren't directing enough porn, but then also people aren't paying for porn, so there's just no money for it, and it's a big thing. So it's like not a great career to get into, because
isn't it amazing for women actually, because female porn actresses make a lot more than men.
They do, but it's like you're so disposable in porn now because, it's really hard, especially if you do certain things too fast, and like it's good to start solo, then
wait
girl
to
on
do
girl,
anal, because then you get paid more.
I learned a lot about it. Yeah.
Interesting.
What? Yeah. How kinky do you guys get?
I mean, lately, not so much. I mean, now you're.
I mean, actually, well, one of the best things was our wedding anniversary was.
Oh, that was fun. Yeah,
that was amazing. That was like
a couple awesome weeks sex. Ago.
Yeah. Also, yeah.
What anniversary was it?
Third year wedding anniversary.
I surprised Iman in Vancouver. She was out in on tour for like a couple of weeks. She'd been out for
2 weeks and
weeks.
A half. Yeah. I was like so cranky. I picked a fight with her like the weekend before, just being like so lonely on the road, knowing that, you know, we're not going to be together for our wedding anniversary. So I'm on stage on the night of my wedding anniversary, just like performing, and she sits in the front row. So she flew from fucking New York City to Vancouver to surprise me. I was going to die.
Really sweet.
So the sex after that was
the sex. Yeah. Yeah. Because that's not that it was really kinky. Yeah.
I
like surprised
I don't know how
her.
Kinky we get. I mean, do we get kinky? I don't think so.
No.
Well,
I mean,
some people, I used to think I don't get kinky, but then I'm like, yeah, I have a girl come over and my boyfriend fucks her while I watch him. I'm like, yeah, I guess
that's,
that is. I have, yeah.
That's something.
I have.
That's something for sure.
I guess that's kind of kinky.
Yeah.
You
know?
I mean, I guess just different positions.
Different
but
positions.
We don't really tie each other up.
Do you
anything?
Like hit each other ever?
Hit?
Or choke?
No.
Like, you know, like light.
No.
Spanking.
I mean, spanking, yeah, but not. We've never really done
slapping or choking.
I mean,
choking.
Maybe hair a little bit.
A little bit.
A little bit hair pull.
Yeah. But very soft, very soft, very gentle. Like, she wanted me to spank her at the beginning, and I was like.
No, but also with the problem. You know, was
I'm like, I don't want to hurt.
It's because
and
I,
she marks easily. She's like so.
Oh, yeah. 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 Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I kind of like, I preferred the other person to be a top, but it's very hard when you hook up with somebody at the beginning who's never been with a woman, so you have to like teach them everything, and
by
then
top,
like
dom
make, yeah like
or
yeah kind of like well
like wearing
yeah
the dildo and fucking
yeah yeah
them?
Yeah more
okay.
Yeah
oh okay yeah, yeah
yeah and so yeah I think that
she had to teach me everything, teach and then
everything.
I became the top that
but
she wanted
kind of yeah
hot. Yeah no it's great
teach
it's
me
great.
How to fuck you
yeah
that's
yeah,
kind
yeah.
of fun I'd
yeah.
be like yeah okay
yeah, yeah, and now she's good. She's
well, yeah, no, I mean, it's, yeah.
I feel like there's a difference between, like, as a straight woman, like, if I met, like a guy who didn't, like, know how to fuck well, like,
yeah.
for me, I would be out immediately.
Yeah.
Do you think that's, but I feel like a lot of, like, I know a lot of, like, lesbians who are kind of, like, titillated by, like, teaching
a
formerly
girl.
Straight
yeah
people is that
like
true
gay
is that like
love,
a lot myth
love going after straight guys even though they know
yeah
I've
no.
talked to a couple on the podcast about that specifically.
Oh really
like, I get why that would be hot because it's like let me teach you how to fuck me kind of thing
yeah
from what I've heard.
No, it's not my favorite thing. It was just a necessity.
So, like, your love was that deep that you're like, we're gonna, I'll teach
Aww.
You. That, cause that to me
that's
is like the
love.
Most, that's like the most amazing thing about this whole conversation is like, wow.
Well, the kissing, yeah, yeah. I think the kissing was so amazing. And that's what sort of.
I knew that because I had a feeling that she was gonna have the same issue that I did the first time that I was with a woman where I'd be like, so like
what are we doing?
Yeah, or like or kind of like just a little bit of the like
Yeah, oh my God, is she humping me right now? Without like a penis? Like, yeah, what is she, you know? What is this?
Without a penis. There's nothing going on. When the first time that happened to me, I was like, this is the saddest thing. Like, is this what you do? You know? And then,
yeah.
And then I just felt like bad for the woman. And then, I mean, whatever. And then, but then I, like, I don't know, somehow I got past it and got used to it and saw how, like, it was like something, you know? And like, mm-hmm. hot and like, and
so it was still the same thing that you were doing, but it became hotter.
Yeah, it became hotter. And then, like, okay, I got why that kind of, you know, like, rubbing together, you know, was, like, not sad. And, like...
I made an OkCupid profile years ago just for women, and I met up with one, and we... slept together, I guess, but that's all we did.
Yeah, yeah.
Because she was a lesbian. Yeah. I was like,
Yeah.
And I told her that, but that's all we did was hump each other. But I didn't think it was sad. I thought it was great. Well,
I mean, it was the only thing that we did, but though.
It's such a stereotypical first time move.
Right. And then I knew that when the first time with Iman, I was like, she was like feeling like this is so pathetic. And then we talked about it later and she definitely
was. So she thought the same thing you did when you first.
Yeah, and I was like in the moment, I'm like, I bet you she's thinking.
Well, do you think that's because you were up until that point, you were used to sex men, a penis and a vagina.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. And I always like the penis vagina thing. I think it goes great together. And it like, I'm not, you know,
it's peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah. For me, like, if in theory was to have a one-night stand, I'd rather have it with a man.
A guy, yeah.
You know? It's just that I fall in love more easily with women and have better, easier relationships with women. But I can't just, like, hook up with a girl like that. I need to know who she is. I need to have seen her for a few years. Like, I need a context. It's not like I'm just... pick up a woman in a bar that I don't know,
like a man,
or go
you can
on a
use
date
more like just like see, a sex toy, like a like a
yeah
object.
Like a woman I couldn't just go on Tinder and like go on I couldn't go on a I went once on a date with a girl and it was so weird, like a girl I didn't know,
mm-hmm.
and like out to dinner and like I was like I couldn't I hated it. Yeah,
wow, interesting.
Yeah, yeah. I has to be like I there has to be a context where I'm like
you're because you're attracted
to have
who
a
they
crush
are.
On the person,
huh. I'm like yeah. that with that's weird I'm like that with men. Oh, I can't just fuck. But then a woman, I'm like, yeah, because okay. you're fun. And women are just so beautiful and soft and pretty.
Yeah, yeah. You seem like you have more experience than we do with women.
Just one. I only slept with one woman by just me and her. And then a lot of three-ways with chicks with my boyfriend.
Okay.
But then this girl from college messaged me. And she was like, hey, I knew she was a lesbian. And she was like, if you ever want to like figure, you know, just see, I would like to take you out. I'm like, yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
And then I... That was it. That was all it did. But I was like, is that mean to do, you think? To say, like, I don't really know what...
Well, she offered.
She did. Yeah. But I always, like, treating people like an experiment. I feel like I don't want to...
Well,
do
sometimes...
Who cares?
I think a gay woman who is, like, flirting with a straight woman, like, knows that that's always a possibility that you're getting yourself into. And I think gay women that don't want that... will not go near a straight woman.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I'm married, I can't do this, but like I do, I'm not interested in like teaching somebody really, there are women that I feel like,
that's
okay. There are women that I feel like I could feel like maybe would be gay maybe, or could be gay. And, that's okay. And I do feel like, part of me wishes that I could, get them into it, you know, mm-hmm. just because I feel like it would be
talking specifically about somebody she has a crush on.
No, it's more than one person. No, it's not. Yeah, I'm just talking in general though.
She does have a crush on a million people.
There are people that I feel like are maybe just not there yet, mm-hmm. but I think that they could be if they were with the right person. And maybe that they're missing. I don't know. Sometimes I just want people to be able to have the experience.
Well, I mean, it's the same thing that, you know, just because you're in a lesbian marriage doesn't mean you're not going through the same things that, like, anyone in, like, any marriage. Like, marriage is still marriage.
Yeah.
Do you feel suffocated by it?
No, not at all.
No, okay.
No, and I'm...
Projecting my own feelings on you, but I'm curious. Because sometimes, like, especially straight couples, like, will make so many, like, passive-aggressive jokes about... And I'm like, do you need help? Wink if you need... help getting out.
Yeah.
What are you
doing? That's what I did for like a couple years.
Yeah. How long were you with your Seven years. I'm telling you, it's breakup season. We've been fighting a lot, and I'm just like hearing about so many people.
And it's seven, the 7 year.
People breaking up. Oh, 7 year
itch. Yeah. Oh, yeah, the 7 year itch. That's, I guess, like you just get sick of the person 7 years.
I don't
years
know.
From.
Yeah, I mean,
I know there's
I
a
can,
movie about it, but.
It's true. I just, I can't imagine my life with anybody else, and I love being with Iman, and like our relationship is great. I can't imagine being in an open relationship. We're both like way too jealous. I could imagine.
I'd be so jealous.
I've actually never heard of a lesbian open relationship. Neither. You know?
We heard of one, and they ended up getting divorced. They were married for 14 years.
Because I was,
I could imagine.
I'd be jealous
it.
Of that too.
I could imagine.
And I'd finish so quickly.
I assume
like
because
it
you're
would be
both
no
attracted
point.
To the same sex, so it's like you could both think someone's hot, but then. That doesn't mean you can't get jealous. Like,
it's just too many vaginas. What's even the point of that? Like, if you're gonna bring something in, bring a dick in. Like,
we would
that's
bring.
How we would do. Yeah,
goals.
We
would. Yeah.
You know,
it's too many
vaginas. What's
no,
that?
Yeah. I don't want another
we
vagina.
We need someone to fill a hole.
Yeah, that's pointless. I mean, I love that's just pointless. Guys, thank you so much.
This was so fun. Thanks.
This was really fun.
Where can we find you both online? Where can we see you live? This is coming out Friday, so. What do you want to promote? Where
our
where
cartoon?
To follow both of you?
Yeah. Ooh. So we have a cartoon about our marriage. It's the best place to see it is on Instagram. It's at the L-E-L Solomons S-A-L-O-M-O-N-S. And also, I should just say that I have a show that's coming up at Union Hall that's called The Lesbian Agenda, because there are so many gay shows and they're not. Lesbian focused, and this one will be that I'm running with a very funny comic named Sophie Santos, and it's going to be at Union Hall on July 10th.
Awesome. Perfect. And what are your social media handles, both of you?
I'm at Jess_Solomon, S-A-L-O-M-O-N.
And I'm at Imani Feek. The big show that I'm really excited about is on June 23rd, the Pride show. She's joking about. She's kind of jealous that I got it. on June 23rd the Public Hotel for Pride.
Awesome.
So,
and
yeah.
If anyone is in Montreal during the festival, Iman and I are doing a show together on July 20th and 21st at Mainline Theater as part of Just for Laughs.
Perfect. Yay. We have so many listeners in Montreal. Thank you so much for sitting down with us. Happy Pride. This
Thanks
has been
so much
guys.
Fun.
We fucked the anti-slut shaming podcast. We'll talk to you next Friday.
I want someone to sweep me off my feet. Hold on tight, a whisper to me as we fly through the midnight air. And we'll wave as we pass by the moon. High five a star as we start to swoon on a homemade love gasoline.
Thank you so much for listening to Guys We Fuck, the anti-slut shaming podcast. Support for today's show comes from Ben and Jerry's, known for creating euphoric ice cream with quirky and unique flavor combinations and delicious chunks and swirls throughout. And now with new Mooforia flavors, digging into a bowl of your favorite treat is even sweeter. Because at 140 to 160 calories per serving, Mooforia is the lightest way to enjoy all the euphoria of Ben and Jerry's. Available in three amazing flavors, including chocolate milk and cookies, caramel cookie fix, and PB dough. Try them all. Go to store.benjerry.com to have new Mooforia light ice cream delivered right to you.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.